about the immigration of international migration of nurses. And everybody knows that this is a big issue around the world, but actually nobody knows actually the magnitude and exactly the number of the migration. And the dominant pattern of these migrations is from the north, from the south to the north, and from the east to the west. Although there are also significant numbers of migration among developed countries and among developing countries, but the dominant trend is from the south to the north and from the east to the west. There are many poll and polling factors, and here is a listed, just a partial list of it. Among these issues, you probably heard in the literature that poaching, brain drain, and stealing, these are some of the negative connotations or regarding the migration. But at the same time, I have read and experienced positive sides of migration, summarized as the empowering, even emancipatory, and the blessing of Thanksgiving for nurses. So there is a different ways of looking at this. So today I'm basically trying to give you a framework of analyzing these and to show that the one size fit all approach does not work. So the framework is the framework of stakeholders. The premises of this framework is that there are stakeholders at different levels, at the individual level, institutional level, national and international levels, depending on where you are looking at, which level, whether it's from the source country or destination country, you will arrive at different conclusions regarding the ethics of international nurse migration. So that's basically the key. For instance, from a source country perspective at the individual level, migration for nurses, usually we ask nurses, they say, this is good for me because it benefits my family, benefit my professional development, and benefit my career, and so forth. But from the added individual level, from the destination country, for instance, the U.S. nurses in this country, and traditionally and historically, the American Nurses Association has been opposing migration of nurses to this country because migration is perceived as a competition for jobs. So that's actually at the nurses level. But what about at the institutional level? Of course, from the source countries, institution always perceived as the loser because the nurses are gone. Nobody is manning the floors. But from the source country, from the destination country, the hospitals, the agencies are perceived as benefactors, right? But not always necessarily true. What if these American, say, hospitals could not retain these nurses? For whatever reason, so they'll lose financially. And sometimes you can see reports about abuse, discrimination, marginalization, and racism going on. So these facilities can expose themselves to reports and also for criticism. So they may lose out financially. So that's the complication for that. But also at the national level, the dominant view for the source country is that the source country lose out because their nurses are gone. Nobody's providing health care in their system. But this may not be true either So I'm going to demonstrate with the Chinese case. It's because in China there is a, if you talk about the nurse to population ratio, China has a very low ratio, only probably 1/7 or 1/10 of the United States. But there is relative surplus of nurses in urban areas. And these nurses are underemployed and sometimes unemployed. For these nurses, I would argue that if they come to the United States or go to Britain or Canada to work, I don't see that that's a brain drain at all. It's actually these nurses we regard it as empowering, emancipatory, and so I think we are utilizing human resources that way. And actually, I just came back from another conference in Baltimore, and there is an African country, I think it's Ghana, said they have also surplus of nurses. But the government produces more nurses than they need, so there is underemployment and unemployment. For these nurses, I do see these recruiting them or going out to another country on the international market should not be perceived as poaching or stealing. Okay. Of course, the dominant view at the national level is we tend to have a nationalist perspective to protect our own interests. But at the international level, there is another model. There's an internationalist model, looking at the migration of nurses from the interdependency perspective, looking at the human rights, looking at the migration of nurses as a fundamental human right. That perspective. So that's an internationalist model. So basically my argument is there are overlapping, but more importantly, different and even conflicting interests on these levels. If you look at it from the source country or destination country perspective, they are not just that simple. It's a clean cut. So depending on where you're looking at, then you arrive at different and sometimes a very even conflicting ethics regarding the migration of nurses across the world. So then I would like to give you another elaboration about how do I use this. Look at the case study number one. So the International Council of Nurses, they believe, their stand is that nurses have the fundamental right to move. So their stand is an internationalistic model, but at the individual level, to protect the nurse, right? But whereas the United Kingdom developed a guidance of principles for international recruitment, so their perspective is, they are saying that we should not recruit nurses from developing countries who are suffering nurse shortage. So the deadline is basically built on the premises of the national interest of source countries. To see the difference between these two guidelines, one is individual level, but the other is the national level, but from the source country perspective. And we talk about this. And I wanted to give you more data about this. In China, the working conditions and the socioeconomic status of nurses is incredibly low. As a nurse, I heard stories they were telling me that their wages is as much as a janitor. For that kind of money or salary, how can you keep nurses there? I have heard from leaders from the Chinese Nursing Association, they were telling me that there's no other way to reform the Chinese healthcare system, particularly with regard to nurses' socioeconomic status, unless the hospital is understaffed, no nurses, they're shut down, they realize the importance of nurses. So that whenever there's cutoff, there's layoffs, it's always nurses. comes first. So basically, this leader was telling me that we'll use the backlash, only the backlash of the brain drain will teach the Chinese government how important nurses is in that healthcare system. But that's sad. That's too sad. So basically, I'm here to say that there are different and conflicting conclusions can be reached depending on which perspective you are taking. And the one size of fit for all approach is not working out. And for me, the most important question is to ask it, whose interest a given policy is supposed to protect. I think that's probably the most important question to ask. Otherwise, we'll be arguing all day long, all year long about, you know, the ethics of migration of nurses, good and bad, why and so, because we are not talking about the same level. We're not talking about the same thing from the so that's the issue. Some emerging issues I would like to mention here is that because of the migration of international nurses across borders, there are issues regarding, say, evaluation of credential evaluation and equivalency. And in 1999, I wrote an opinion piece and said, is an international nurse licensure license feasible? Because we do have the international driver license, right? So is that feasible? And gladly, today, actually, the chief scientist for WHO, Dr. Jin Yang, and gave a presentation just yesterday at the Sigma Theta International 39th Convention in Baltimore, saying that the WHO would like to collaborate with this nursing organization to develop global standards for nursing. So that seems to me that's a direction. Mandatory minimum language and proficiency standard, that's another issue for at the clinical area. And because that pose a potential patient safety and quality of care issue. And also racism and discrimination that has been reported widely, and particularly in the English literature and also Canadian literature. Okay, I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you.